First of all, thank you to Sparks for the opportunity to share this Devei Torah with you, and also for the opportunity to delve into this parsha, into the sugya of Ner Shabbos. You know, after learning about the depth and the beauty of this mitzvah, I'm jealous of the fact that the women have such a schus every single Shabbos to be able to connect in such a deep way. Of course, we're going to share only a little bit of this parsha, but the idea tonight is to speak about the pnimius, the essence. Every single mitzvah has a neshama and a guf. The neshama is the spiritual essence of the mitzvah, and that needs a guf. It needs something to be contained within in this world, and that's the halachas. So, Mr. Shem, next week we'll discuss the halachas of Ner Shabbos, which is equally as beautiful. But tonight, to delve into the neshama of the mitzvah. And it's a very beautiful one. To begin, everything is b'shachach ha'pratis. And the fact that we're speaking about this mitzvah this week, Parshas Chayisara, is extremely relevant. Chazal tell us that with the p'tira of Sarah Imenu, so Yitzchak was very broken over the loss of his mother, and he didn't have any nechama until he met Rivka. And Chazal tell us that as soon as Rivka entered into the tent of Sarah, so the three special brachas that were always in the tent of Sarah returned. And what was that? That the ner in the house of Sarah was lit from Shabbos to Shabbos. It never went out. Secondly, there was bracha matzuya b'isa, that in the dough of Sarah, there was, I don't exactly know what the nature of that bracha was, but there was something about her chala, Sarah's chala. And then thirdly, the anan was kosher ala oihal, that there was always this anan, this special cloud, which was upon the tent of Sarah Imenu. And as soon as Rivka was brought into the tent of Sarah, so everything returned. And the Shlach Kodesh tells us that, and it's somewhat obvious, but the Tzaddik speaks it out, that these three special skulas in the house of Sarah are connected to three mitzvahs that an isha is zayichah to: Taras HaMishpacha, Chadla, and Halakas HaNer. It's obvious just to make the connections. So we see that Rivka was initiated into being one of the Imohos through these three signs. This is what Yitzchak was looking for. I'll be able to see if this is Sarah, if this is a woman who has been chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to become one of the Imahos, if she comes into the tent and I see that it's lichtig, it's lit up in this way, I know this is Sarah Imenu. That means to say that these three mitzvahs were so dear to Sarah, they were so makusha to Sarah, that the embodiment of the Imahos was exactly that. And that's this week's parasha. Not only do we see that by Sarah and Rivka, we see it by Rachel too. Because interestingly enough, we're all familiar with the Chazal, that Yaakov knew that Laban was a swindler, he was a trickster, and he tried to pull a fast one on him. So Yaakov was engaged to Rachel, and he knew what to expect, so he gave Rachel simanim. And these simanim would be a way for Yaakov to know that this was Rachel and it wasn't Leah. Of course, we know the story. What were these three simanim that Yaakov gave Rachel? We've heard it so many times, but have we been ever taught and told what these simanim were? So it says one of the Bali Hatosos in his Perish Al HaTorah, he says the simanim that Yaakov gave Rachel were exactly those three things: Taras HaMishpacha, Chadla, and Hanlakas HaNer. And this was once again the very first interaction that Yaakov had with Rachel. Remember, he saw her once. He knew that this was his Basharit. He didn't see her for 7 years, basically. And they made up these signs, and then they were going to see each other again at the chuppah. But this discussion took place before that. They were going to be married. Rachel was going to become one of the imos due to these three mitzvahs. So we see by Sarah, we see by Rivka, we see by Rachel. That means we see it by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We see that by these three generations that they were holding in these three mitzvahs. It was so precious and so dear to them. So it's certainly at the roots of what it means to be an Isha Tzidkanya, to follow the Messiah of the Imahos. And again, as as we've been told, that over these next few weeks, months, it will just be a discussion of Ner HaShabbos, but of part of a greater sugya of understanding these three special mitzvahs of Nashim Tzidkaniyos. So that's this week's parasha, and so in Bela, it's a very opportune time to speak about these things. And already it's a tremendous chizuk for every isha who has that tzchus to know that when an isha is doing these three mitzvahs, but befrat, like tonight, speaking of halakas neighbors, that in doing so, I'm part of a mesayder which goes back to the imahos. How much do we know about the imahos anyways? How many words does the Torah use? How many sentences do we have in Torah about that? Not too many. But we find by each and every one of these imahos, this storyline. And that means that it's a special mesayder that every isha can feel like when she's lighting Neres Shabbos, that this is a gift from the imahos HaTzidkaniyos. It was always very interesting to me, and I'm sure it is to all of you, the very unique minhagim when it comes to lighting Neres Shabbos. The whole Seder HaDvarim, the whole ceremony. Of course, you all know that first a woman will light, and then go like this three times, cover her eyes, and make the bracha. Now, manishtana that normally the rule is that the bracha comes before doing the mitzvah. But in this case, the minhag is that the isha, the woman, will first light and then make the bracha. It's not consistent with all the other mitzvahs. But on top of that, what's going on with this? Why are we doing this? It's so beautiful, it's so magical, but we have to ask ourselves, now that we question Chas V'Shalom, we do it, that's the Messiah. I'm sure the Imahos did that too. But why? It could be three times, it's connected to three Imahos, which we mentioned. We'll try to give a different perspective of it in Mitzvah Shem. But for what? Why are we doing this? We feel the Kedusha, we know that it's the right thing to do, but to try to understand it in Pnimius, something which I was always wondering about, and learning the Sugya was an opportunity to delve into this in you. But on top of that, not just to go like this, but then to cover the eyes, and then to make the bracha. Where else do we cover our eyes when making the bracha? So there's so much which is out of the ordinary when it comes to Neres Shabbos, so it gives us a lot to discuss in Mitzvah Hashem. So this will require us in Mitzvah Hashem to go pnimi, to go within it, to try to understand the essence of the big question, what is this or? What is this or? Is this an ordinary or? Where does it come from? What are the roots of this or? Where am I pulling this down from? And one last question. The Zayar HaKadosh tells us, and again, this is already a hint to the Hishtashalist, to the Shairish of where this or comes from. The Zayar says, Vayomer Elokim Yihi Or Vayihi Or. That Hashem Yisbarach said, let there be light, and there was light. So the Zayar says a very deep and peculiar taich explanation of what's being said here in the Torah. We're not going to delve into the pratim, but this is what the Zayar says. Vayomer lekim yihi or, vayihi or, or shekvar haya. This is a light that already was. Or shekvar haya. The light that was already. What does that mean? It would seem, Vayomer Elokim Yihi Or, is the creation of the light. But the Zohar seems to be saying, no, this is not the creation of the light. This is a light which already was. What you're seeing now is just the revelation of this light. But this Or Kfar Haya, this is an Or which already preceded this Memra, this Amira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's try to understand that. So to begin, let's try to understand the origins of this Or. One of the great tzaddikim, Talmid Baal Shem Tov, was a tzaddik of Pinchas Karzer. And when we speak about the halachas of Mitzvah Shem next week, there are different minhagim when it comes to how many candles to light. Berov Bata B'nai Yisrael, the minhag seems to be to light as many candles as there are B'nai Habayis. And that will increase as the family grows, B'siyata D'Shmaya. But in some places, it's strictly two. Some places four, maybe seven, eight. But the maximum amount, which is brought down to the Sfarim in the Minhagim, is to light 36 candles. I was able to see that. I had the schus to be by a very great tzaddik in my early years in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, by Rav Chaim Brim Zatzal. We have a son named after Rav Chaim Brim. And I remember in his house coming on Thursday night, he would spend hours making the wicks by himself and preparing the candles. And I was always very hot Friday night sitting at his Shabbos table because right behind me was 36 candles. And it was not a big room. So it was very steamy, but it was filled with Kedusha. Filled with Kedusha. The Shechina was very palpable there. And the Rebbetzin was a very, very big tzaddikus. And so, 36 candles, Lamed Vav Nivus Shabbos, where does that come from? So Pinchas Gartzer says the following thing. He says that the very first light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world, it was created on day one. But it first came into revelation on Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos was the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to the world this light. And the way that it happened was as follows. Although Adam HaRishon was Chote on Erev Shabbos, this light, which was like the pride of Hashem's creation, it didn't go away from Adam until after Shabbos. And that's what the Gemara tells the story, that Adam saw that the day the sun was declining and the light was going away and he was very afraid. And it was dark on Motzei Shabbos and he was able to create fire. He took two stones, rubbed them together, which is why we light a fire on Motzei Shabbos. But there's a very big difference between a fire and a candle. The candle of Erev Shabbos, which we light in Erev Shabbos, is because that light, Adam HaRishon and Chava, they were zeichet to that light for 24 hours on Shabbos. But on top of that, 12 hours on Erev Shabbos. Because already from Chatzos, that light is already starting to come in. I should say even before that. Like the morning time of Friday, those 12 hours of the morning of Friday, that's like Shabbos day. So when you take the 24 hours of Shabbos and the 12 hours during the day of Friday, so you have 36. 36 candles connected the 36 hours that this amazing, beautiful light illuminated the Gan Eden from Adam and Chava. And this explains to us why it is that when we light near a Shabbos, we do so like at the moment of the bridge between Erev Shabbos and Shabbos. It didn't have to be that way. Many women have the minhag that when they light candles on Yontif candles, that they don't do so Erev Yontif, they do so on Yontif. Because you can light a candle from a candle on Yontif. Especially when you're going in from Shabbos to Yontif. But the halacha is, on Shabbos, it has to be lit on Erev Shabbos. And again, even though karbanos are brought on Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have said, you can light on Shabbos, just like you could bring karbanos on Shabbos. No. It has to be brought at that moment where you're going from Erev Shabbos into Shabbos. Because, let's get to the depth of this or. This or is the or which was transferred from Erev Shabbos into Shabbos. It's those 36 hours of what's called the Or HaGonos, the hidden light, the light of creation. 36 candles connected these 36 hours. So we start to understand the origin and the primus of this light. We go back to Adam HaRishon, Chav, and to the Gan Eden. And Alpi Kabbalah, Alpi Deep Chassidus, this is precise. Because what takes place on Shabbos, the Svarim explained, is what's called Aliyas Olamos, that all the Olamos, all the different worlds, they all go up, they return to their Shayrish. Shabbos means returning to your source. Shabbos is from the word Tshuva. Tshuva means return to your source. And everything returns to its source on Shabbos Kodesh. And so even people, Klal Yisrael, we return to our source. We become like Adam HaRishon, all the males, and all the females become like Chava, and we go back to the Gan Eden. And so there's a certain utopia which takes place on Shabbos Kodesh, where when Shabbos is kept, Al Pi Halacha, with the proper Hashkafa, so every home should feel on some level like, this is Gan Eden Dik. And when it's time for Mutzi Shabbos, we're not looking to rush out of Shabbos, we feel like we want to still be connected to that light. That light of Ner Shabbos that every woman lights, although it looks like it goes out after a few hours, but in the Pinimis, if we had the eyes to see, it illuminates the entire 36 hours, 24 hours, whatever it is. So that's the oimek of these 36 lights, Adam HaRishon, Chav, and the Gan Eden, as we explain. Secondly, we're going to give three hakdamas before we get to the Shayrish Advar. Why is it that an Isha lights Neiris Shabbos? So we have three reasons brought down in the Mefarshim. The Rambam gives the most basic reason. The basic reason why an Isha is Zaycha is because it's a mitzvah which pertains to the bias, and that's the domain of the Isha, and she's home, and he's out, maybe not home, or he's busy with other things. It's her mitzvah because the bias is her domain, and she is machnis the kedushin to the home. That's what the Rambam says. It's somewhat of a practical reason. Now the Gemara gives a deeper reason. And the Gemara says that Adam HaRishon was called the Ner of Hashem. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. He was the Nesham of the Bria. And Chava is held accountable for putting out that candle by giving him what to eat from the Eitz Hadas. So in order to have a tikkun for herself, and every Isha is a chelek from that Chava, so by lighting the nearest Shabbos, it's like rekindling the Nesham of Adam HaRishon. It's bringing back that greatness of Adam HaRishon to the world. And that, of course, is already a deeper reason than the first reason. The Zohar Kodesh takes it one step further. And the Zohar quotes the second reason, which is the reason of the Gemara. But then the Zohar adds something fascinating. After quoting the reason of the Gemara, the Zohar says, of course, it's absolutely true. Shapir, well said. Avol Raza Demila, but if you want to know the secret of what the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neres by Anisha is, he says, in the Zohar Kodesh Reb Shimon, that every woman is an embodiment of the Shechina. And the Shechina is responsible for Knesset Yisrael, for Av Kol Yisrael. And in the same way that the Shechina takes responsibility for the Neshamas of Kol Yisrael, every single woman takes responsibility for her household. It's an achrayas which she has towards the people of the house, especially the children of the home, which is why we all know that lighting Neres Shabbos is perhaps the most opportune time ever to be mespalo for tzaddikim, tzedkanios, yirei shemayim, nachas from children, to walk in the derech of avos and the imos hakdoshim. That's Gemara. That's not just a skula. The Gemara says so in Gemara and Shabbos. And this really explains the minhag, why it is that a woman lights candles according to how many people are in the household. Because just like the Shechina takes an accountability for every single neshama, every woman who's an embodiment of the Shechina takes an achrayis for the children of the home and for the people in the home. So we see three reasons. Again, the Rambam's reason, it's a matter of practicality. The Gemara's reason, that a woman has to be misaking that mistake of what she gave to the Marisha. But thirdly, which is the deepest and the most profound reason, which was what the Zohar Kodesh tells us, is that a woman needs to look at herself in her shayrish. That there's something feminine about the Shechina Kodesh. And the Shechina takes responsibility for what's called Beis Yisrael. And every woman takes responsibility to uplift and to be machnis kedusha into every member of the bayis. So we have three reasons. Introduction number three. We won't see the relevance yet, but just bear with me. When it comes to a man's mitzvah of putting on tefillin, I know this is foreign territory, but it's not too complicated. Everybody's in agreement that when putting on the tefillin shel yad, that a bracha should be made. And that goes first. When we put on the tefillin shel rosh, there's a machlokas whether or not a bracha should be said. And the bracha, if it is said, is al mitzvah tefillin. But there's a machlokas, and as a result of that, the difference in minhagim between Acheinu b'nei Hasfardim and Ashkenazim, whether or not a bracha is said in putting on the tefillin shel rosh. The Sfardim do not make a bracha, and that's in accordance with the Arizal, and that's the derech of the Chassidim as well. But the Ashkenazim do make a bracha. But when the Ashkenazim do make a bracha, afterwards they say, Baruch Shem Kved Machasod L'Mavuad. Why? Because since it's a machlokas, whether or not a bracha should be said, lest it be a bracha levatola, so whenever a person chalidah should say a bracha, which is levatola, so immediately one should say, Baruch Shem Kved Machasod L'Mavuad, which is a way of saying that Hashem's name should be great, and therefore it's not levatola. So either a bracha is not said at all, or a bracha is said followed by Baruch Shem Kevein Machasal in Avod. Now the Arizal explains, why is there no bracha when putting on the tefillin shel rosh? And he says something which is fascinating. He says, normally when we do a mitzvah, what's taking place in the spiritual domain, like behind, you know, closed doors, is that metaphorically we're reaching up grabbing a very great light, because every mitzvah is an air and an or, and we're taking it and bringing it down into this world. That's standard. However, says the Arizal, there are times, although uncommonly, that when we do the mitzvah, the light, the source of where this mitzvah comes from, is so profound and so great that we can't even say about it that we're going like this, lifting up our hands and bringing it down into this world. It's not possible. Because what we're trying to reach for is so beyond, it's so far out of our reach, that we're going through a process, a seder, but that light is far, far out of our reach. Says the Arizal, that when we do the mitzvah, when a man puts on the tefillin shel rosh onto his head, he says, the place from where that tefillin comes from, which is called like the keser, which is the crown, which is so beyond, we can't say that the action is being done by us. So therefore, says the Arizal, when you make a bracha on a mitzvah, which you do, it's because you do it. And because you do it, you make the bracha. But in this case, says the Arizal, you're not doing anything. So therefore, how can you make a bracha? Okay, so you're going through the motions of putting on the tefillin shel rosh. But that's only in the physical realm. In the spiritual realm, you're not doing anything. You're kind of making a request that tefillin should come down on your head. Hashem puts it on your head. Okay, so who's going to come put your tefillin on your head for you? Hashem's going to send a malach to do that? No, we live in a world of teva. So you're going to be the one to put it on your head. But don't make a bracha, because you know, spiritually, that you're not putting on this tefillin on your head. Hashem's putting on the tefillin on your head. So you can't make the bracha, it's not you. You can only make a bracha on what you do. So really, when we put together the minhag of the Sfaradim and the minhag of the Ashkenazim, it's really like two sides of the same coin. If you don't make the bracha, that's because you're acknowledging that I'm not doing anything. If you do make the bracha, that's because you're also acknowledging that in the physical world, I'm doing something. I am putting on tefillin on my head. And I will make the bracha. Do I have to at least concede? Do I have to admit that it's Hashem who's doing it? Yes, absolutely. Therefore, Baruch Shem Kvei Machus Olam V'Olam. I acknowledge the fact that although I'm putting this on my head, and I'm making the bracha, nevertheless, Baruch Shem Kvei Machus Olam V'Olam means, and even the words mean, that it's all you. There's something about this which is, it's all you. With this we can explain, I hope, the depth and the beauty of what's taking place when it comes to Halakas Neir Shabbos. Again, let's go through the Seder. The woman comes to the Neiris, and she lights the Neiris. No bracha is made. Three times. And then after that, hands over the eyes, and make the bracha. Why is there no bracha said before? The reason why no bracha is said before is because, again, where is this or coming from? The or of Neir Shabbos is coming from a place from the first day of creation, the very first creation, Vayomer Elokim Yihi Or Vayihi Or. The Lamed Vav Shaos, the Lamed Vav Neiris. This is Hashem's light. We can't bring down Hashem's light. We can make a request that the light comes down. But it's not like every other mitzvah where it's in arm's reach, that we lift up, and we bring it into our atmosphere. No, Neir Shabbos is not like that. Neir Shabbos comes from a place which is beyond human touch, beyond neshama touch. So the reason why there's no bracha is because we admit that we're not bringing down this light. That's how powerful, that's how deep, that's how profound the light of Neir Shabbos is. And of course, we have to approach this with a gevaldik simcha. I want to just read to you the lashon of the Zohar Kaddish because it's relevant right now as we're about to explain. The Zohar says, and again, I'm jealous. V'itza boi b'chedva d'liba v'ra'usa l'alko b'tzina d'shabbos. A woman needs to light the Neir Shabbos, what's called b'chedva d'liba, with such joy in her heart, v'ra'usa, and with such a pleasure to light the Neiris of Shabbos, the Hayikra Ilahi. It's a holy preciousness, Yikra Ilah. And as I explains, it's such a schus for her children and for her husband and for all of Klal Yisrael. And it is, it's very empowering. And there's three reasons why a woman should feel empowered. Whether it's the Rambam's reason, whether it's the reason of the Gemara, or it's the reason of the Zohar Kaddish, which is the deepest of them all. But there's a process which is taking place. That when a woman steps up to light Neir HaShabbos, and she's infused with the schus, she's infused with the simcha that the Zohar HaKadosh is describing, of what it means every single Friday. It was kedai to come into the world just to do this mitzvah. And a woman has such a simcha when she's about to do this mitzvah for three reasons. But as she lights the Neir, and she's filled with that gratitude and with that simcha, she's going through a process where she's realizing that I'm not bringing this down at all. I may be doing it on one level, but on a deeper level, it all belongs to you. It all belongs to you. And perhaps the reason why a woman goes like this three times is because she's saying that although there are three reasons why I feel so full and I feel so indebted and so grateful to you to be able to do a mitzvah like this, there's like before the fact and after the fact, and there's the transition of moving into that realm where I realize the magnitude of what's coming down right now. And it's almost like I'm saying, I'm not paying attention to that anymore. And a woman covers her eyes, and then after she makes the bracha, she opens up her eyes, and there's the neiros. It's not like she lit them. It's not like the regular way would be to say, make the bracha and light the neiros. And then you lit it, right? Because you made the bracha, you lit it. And of course it's there. You lit it. Why would it not be there? In this case, no. You're going through a process where you're postponing the bracha. The bracha comes after your lighting. You're covering your eyes. You're opening up your eyes. And lo and behold, there's the light. You didn't light this light. You go through a process where it's there. Because before the fact, yes, you're lighting it. That's like putting on the tefillin and making a bracha. But really, the other side of the coin is, no, you're not lighting it. You're not putting on the tefillin. It comes onto your head by itself because it's so big and it's so deep. How could you take credit for such a thing? So when you open up your eyes and you look at the neiros, there's an admission that a person, every woman is saying, you brought down the light. I didn't make this light. And that is indescribable. The Kedushas Levi says that when a woman lights Neir HaShabbos, it's not just the beginning of Shabbos. Shabbos begins with that light. It gives a Kedusha and it lights up the entire Shabbos. It's the Pesach. It opens up the door. It's the key to unlock everything which will take place on Shabbos. How could it not? It's the physical manifestation of the light of creation. What could be bigger than that? So it could be that the husbands, they go to Shul and they daven and they're learning Torah and they're doing a lot and there's many things that's being done. But in this case, there's one thing which is being done which is really the source from where all of that light is being drawn from. It's the key, it's the portal. But it's something which is way, way beyond us. So we go through that Seder of Simcha, feeling the gratitude, feeling the empowerment of what it means to have the opportunity to have a connection to this light. But what the Seder of the Halakha is telling us is that there's a transformation which is taking place, that by the time the Seder is over and you're looking at the lights, you'd say, it's here. It wasn't me. You brought it down. And that's really what the Zayar means when we go back to what the Zayar said. The Zayar said about this light. The Zayar says, Kfar Haya, it was already. I mean, Hashem may have revealed the light on day 6. And that's when he gave it to Adam. That's when Adam and Chava were Zaychit to see the light. But it was a light which was already on day 1. And it could even have preceded day 1 from what it seems like from other Svar. Meaning, wherever you think that it is, it really came before that. And that's the experience which every woman has when she lights the Neir Shabbos and she goes through that process, that when she opens up her eyes after going through the Seder and the lights are there, you say about that light, Kfar Hoya, it was already there. I was just a keli to be able to bring it down, to participate on some level, but it's all you. And Baruch Hashem, it's all you, because if it was me, it would only be in accordance to my Madrega, because I can only produce kefi what I am. But if it's you who's bringing it down, it could be far, far beyond my Madrega, because you're the one bringing it down and it's not me. And perhaps this is why that Alpi Halacha, a woman only needs to light one candle to be yotze the mitzvah. We light two for Zachar v'Shamar, but it could be the reason why there are two lights, and this is, even without getting into detail, represented by Zachar v'Shamar, is because there's two sides of the same coin. It's like one light, but there's two lights. There's the light, which is my chilek in the process, but then there's the other light, which is that this is purely Hashem's light. One of the things that the Zohar Kodesh adds when it speaks about this schus of lighting Neir Shabbos, the Zohar says, what a great schus, lemiski lebinin kadishin, to have holy children who will be born into the world, but who have already been born, that they should be tzedikim and tzikonios with the light of Torah and Yerushalayim, v'yizgun shalma ba'ara, and there should be shalom in the land. Should be shalom in the land. So befrat at a time like this, where there's so much going on in the world, and we feel Mashiach vibes, maybe. Yeah, of course, we don't know what Hashem Yisbarach wants, but there's a lot of simanim. When the war started, Hoshana Rabbah, Shemini Atzeres, and I'm sure many of you have heard about this inyan, but there's something going on in the world right now. And Klai Yisrael, we feel it. And it's Befrat in Eretz Yisrael, that there's a very grave sakana for, not just for the soldiers, but anybody who's living in Eretz Yisrael. And we feel that. We feel that we're all in this army of Hashem, and we're being called to action in a very deep and unique way, something which we haven't experienced before. But it's interesting, the Zohar adds, V'yizgun shalom ba'ara. When we speak about, as the Gemara does, that the skulas of Neir Shabbos is that there should be shalom bayis. There should be shalom bayis. So every woman can ask themselves, and every Jew should ask themselves, like, what's the extent of my bias? What's the extent of my bias? And the more that a woman, Befrat, is connected to what we had said before, to the Shechina Kedoshah, because a woman, if she sees herself in a very primitive sense, it's the greatest chus in the world to be a direct kesher to the Shechina Kedoshah herself. The bias of the Shechina Kedoshah is all of Knesset Yisrael. And that's why when the Zohar explains the lighting of Neir Shabbos, the Zohar paints the picture of that every woman in her household is like the Shechina taking a chrys for Kol Beis Yisrael. For Kol Beis Yisrael. So in the same way that lighting Neir Shabbos is a skula for Shalom Bayis, which means my home, this location where I'm lighting right now, but in a more premium sense, in a deeper sense, when we go to its roots, it's the same thing. It's my tefillah for the members of my household that there should be Shalom Bayis here. What that means in a deeper way is it's the Shechina Kedoshah pleading before Kodesh Brichu, so to speak, that there should be Shalom Kol Beis Yisrael. There should be Shalom Bayis. There should be Pasha Shalom Bayis in Klal Yisrael. V'nasati Shalom Ba'aretz. V'yizgun Shalom Ba'ara, the Zohar Kodesh says. So b'fat at a time like this, and I'm sure it's already on all your minds, I'm not telling you any chidushim, but I was zeichet to see and going through many svarim and seeing many stories, and you know many stories of your own and many things about this as well, but it may take just a few seconds, the whole Seder Hadvar. But packed into just a few seconds is such a gevaldig or, like we're explaining right now, but it's a moment which defies time, space, reality. I think it's safe to say that the single most important moment during the week of how we can impact our family in Klal Yisrael is Neir Shabbos. It seems that way. Pashut seems that way. I mean, you're sitting in front of this light, which means you're sitting in front of Lifnei Hashem. It's like you're bringing on this light of Hashem. You're sitting in front of it. You're talking. It's like a Shemona Ezra. It's like you're sitting in front of this light, and it's a tefillah. It's a tefillah. Hashem Yisbarach, that take care of everything. Especially when we acknowledge the fact that this is a light which I can't bring down. I'm bringing down such a metzias that it's in your hand. It's in your control. I think there's another nekuda which is very deep, profound, which I feel compelled to share, and then we'll conclude with this. Is that the tzaddikim say that they were able to see within the Neir Shabbos the future. That the lights speak to them what's going to happen. They're able to see in these Neir Shabbos what's going to happen during the week, what's going to happen in the future. There was one tzaddik, and I think this is true of many tzaddikim, the Or HaMeir. He said, when he started to be Baal Madriga and he started to see within the Neir Shabbos future events that were going to happen, he turned to Kadosh Baruch Hu and he says, I'm not doing this for that. Meaning, I appreciate the Madrigas and it's very nice to be a Baal Ruch HaKodesh and to see into the future, but I'm not in it for that. And he asked Hashem to take away the Madrigas of seeing into the future. Something we spoke about recently in the shul, which is that the Madriga of Bitachon is higher than Ruach HaKodesh. But aside from that, What's higher than being a Baal Ruach HaKodesh is to having nachas from children. It's to have shalom bayis in the home. That's an even higher madriga than being a Baal Ruach HaKodesh. And so many times, when the tzaddik is starting to see madrigas in Ruach HaKodesh, where he starts to see, wow, these neighbors are telling me such big things. When it starts to take away, because as the Sfarim say, by Philip from Lechenstein, he said that it's very hard that you find a one place to be Baal Ruach HaKodesh and to have nachas from your children. It doesn't always come easy, both of them. So the tzaddikim say that I appreciate the gift and the gesture of giving me Ruach HaKodesh to seeing these neighbors, but I don't want these neighbors to be for that. I want these neighbors to be for something more than that, which is for the shalom bayis and for the tzaddikim and the tzidkanis which will come from the home. So when a person is able to make sacrifices on that level and to be mispalul and to say that this is my priority, I want that there should be shalom, I want that there should be children who walk on the Derech Hashem. And again, we don't have to be Baal Ruach HaKodesh to have that opportunity. But if we feel that way, when we're sitting there, we know that we can ask for anything in the world. Because we're sitting in front of the master of the world. That's the light which is in front of us. And we say, and we say the Hiratzim, and we beg the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we say, we should walk in the Derech Hashem. They should just walk in your footsteps. This is the tefillah of Avraham Avinu. Why did Hashem choose Avraham? Because the man Yitzav, as Banav, as Beis Vachav, Lishma Derech Hashem. Because Avraham Avinu was invested. He was invested in what's going to be for the Eivishter when I'm not here. That's what he was invested in. So that type of feeling that a woman has when she's in front of the neighbors and she feels like, this is my moment to be able to tell you what matters most to me. And I want that they should be Talmid Chachamim and Yerushalayim and Tzidkanios and to give you nachas. It's not about my nachas, it's about your nachas. Certainly a tefillah like that should be answered. And we have in mind, especially at a time like this for all of Klal Yisrael, that we're not just worried about our bias, but about Beis Yisrael, Bechlalos, the Shechin HaKadosh's bias. So in that chas, we should be zeichet, not to see shalom, not just in our homes, but Hashem should have shalom in his home and in his world. And in the same way that the Zohar Kodesh says about the Beis HaMikdash, by Shlomo HaMelech, it says about the Beis HaMikdash, Bihi Banoso. It didn't say that he built the Beis HaMikdash. It says that it was built on its own, because who can build the Beis HaMikdash? Only Hashem can build the Mikdash. And the same way that these lights, every Erev Shabbos, come down into the world because Hashem has to bring it, so too the Beis HaMikdash, Bihi Banoso. What that means, grammatically, is it was built by itself. Shlomo didn't build the Beis HaMikdash, but it took 7 years to build it. 7 is like Shabbos. No, it didn't take 7 years. Hashem built it. Hashem built that bias. Hashem really is what builds every bias, but especially the bias of Shlishi, which we're so anxiously awaiting. It's going to come down from Shemayim to be clear that Hashem built that bias. We should be saying it too. And very, very soon, with the coming of Shiat Tzidkenu, we have a main one.